Welcome to Christ Church Manchester Sermon Podcast. CCM is one church that meets every Sunday in various locations across Manchester. For more information about who we are or about our Sunday meetings, please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com. My home is not on this earth.
All right. Okay, guys. Thank you, Jesus. You are good. We just want to bless this church plant, Father, that your name would be lifted high in Withenshaw. That's our purpose. That's our goal, Lord. We want to see great fruit from this place, from this church plant that you've planted here in Jesus' name. Okay, so you're on How God Connects Us, yeah? The Connect series, and I'm preaching about the presence of the Holy Spirit, okay? Which I'm privileged to do. I just love what the Holy Spirit is up to in these days. I'm going to read to you from John 15, if you've got your Bibles with you today. John 15, 1 to 15. You might know this amazing picture that Jesus gives of the vine and the branches. But it's John 15, 1 to 15. Let me read it to you. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is a gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's amazing words. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. What a promise. And it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. That's John 15, 1 to 15. I'm just going to read two verses from Romans 11, 17, which I really felt God connect with this. It's Paul is speaking these words. He says, but if some of the branches were broken off and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree. So from these two verses, the Bible puts across that there are two olive trees. Okay, one from Romans and then Jesus is speaking about the other. Okay, one is independent. All right, a wild olive tree. Now, if you do any gardening, put your hand up if you do any gardening. I do a little. Jake, do you do gardening? I thought you just cut down trees. You grow trees as well. Brilliant. Okay. So there's two trees put forward, one an independent one. Now, I know for myself, I have a bit of a garden. I wouldn't call it a garden. It's more like a concrete area with some plant pots. But I grow a few things, and I let them grow. Now, I don't tend to prune them. I think it's cruel. So they grow long, and actually they never really flower. And my mum, who is so green-fingered, comes to me and says, you need to really hack this plant, and then you'll see the benefit next season. And so I've tried it, and yes, sure enough, it does work. And then Jesus speaks about this other one, which is under the gardener's hand. Okay, so it's as if you picture it, a trellis on a wall, you've got a clematis growing up that trellis and really thriving, but it's thriving because it's under the gardener's hand who prunes it at the right time because he knows what he's doing. Okay, and it bears much fruit. Now, I'm sure you've noticed, live in a very independent culture. We're encouraged to express ourselves in our own way, to go our own way, to our own money is our own, and it can be used for our own promotion. Yet when we come into the kingdom of God, one of the things I found back in 93 when I was saved was just how wide and free the Christian life is, and yet the loving hand of the Father upon me was incredible. So going from complete independence where I did what I want and got myself in all sorts of trouble to going in complete dependence on the Father was a whole different kingdom. Now, what I'm going to do today, tonight, this afternoon even, is, it's strange speaking in the afternoon, is I'm going to tell you some stories from mine and Victoria's life. Okay, the only reason I want to do this, I really felt compelled to do this, was to show you how, you know, look, we make mistakes, but also God, when we make sure we remain in the vine, he's the one who prunes us and brings fruit from our lives. So our job is to remain. That's what John has just told us to do in the book of John through Jesus' words, remain in the vine. So let me tell you a few stories. So back in 2000, when Jake was about three, were you? Something like that. We were in a house in Offerton Green. And our lovely two girls were about three and five, and we kind of had our future planned. We just got saved. We were loving the Lord. And my girls were going to an excellent primary school in Stockport, one of the best, in fact. And we were in a tiny little box house, and we really needed to make the next step up. Now, I still am self-employed. I'll probably be self-employed till I die, but I'd been probably self-employed then those days for about 7 years. And I couldn't quite make the jump up to the next houses on the estate. Have you ever had that situation? And we really kind of thought about it, saw the accountants, see if we could make it. We just couldn't make it. So eventually, amazingly enough, you know what we did? We prayed and asked Jesus what he wanted to do. Now, this is possibly a mistake because the Lord put it on our heart. We were going to church in Gorton at that time, but we were going to church in Gorton, but living in Stockport. It was a perfect medium. So we did mission in Stockport, in Gorton, but we came back to a lovely, peaceful estate where we lived. But the Lord had it in his mind that he wanted us to move lock, stock and barrel to Gorton. Now, to me, that was madness because being self-employed, I had a van, still have, and it was jam-packed full of my stock, okay? So probably 7,000 pounds worth of stuff in my van. And in Stockport, I had a perfect system. It was blocked on my drive. No one could touch it. I was going to move to one of the highest crime capitals of Manchester and have it, nobody has a garage in Gorton, which is a very strange thing, but and have it parked on the street in full view. And I thought, well, Lord, that's going to disappear overnight. But, Lord, and this is where we come to the trellis, because I had chosen in those days, Lord, I'm yours, you are mine, so say what you will, and I will try to say yes to you. And so I went away and prayed. Now, interestingly enough, God gave me and Victoria a picture of the view that where he wanted us to live. Now, this sounds crazy, but it's true. The view outside of our window on the first floor of where we would live. And I came home from work and I said to Victoria, the Lord has given me a picture of the road that I believe he's going to give us a house on. And she said, that's strange. I was washing up today and the Lord dropped into my heart a picture of the road and the view of the park where we would live. And I said, well, go on then, write it down. And sure enough, it was the same place, just on Howarth Road. Incredible. And I said, well, it's clearly the Lord is working here. So the only issue is we need to put our house on the market. So we put it on the market and God said, look, Christians are going to buy your house for the asking price. And we were like, what? So we put it on the market and within 3 weeks it was sold to Christians. We only knew the Christians because in those days, if you've ever had God TV, on our fridge, we had a God TV badge. And she said, are you Christians? And I said, yeah. And she said, well, so are we. And suddenly the sale was through. It was incredible. So we'd sold our house in no time. But the problem was we knew where we were going to live in Gorton because God had told us, but there wasn't any houses for sale. So what do you do about that? That's a small problem, in my opinion. So what we decided the best thing to do was to do, because, I mean, moving from Stockport to Gorton, we had heaps of cash. I mean, we sold the house for so much and we could buy four houses in Gorton in those days because they were so cheap. So we thought, well, this is a good position to be in, but we know where we want to live. Why don't we just leaflet drop the road and say, look, we'll give you a great price for your house. We put our contents in storage and our family and friends had thought we'd absolutely lost the plot. Not only that, we were moving our little girls of 3 and 5 from the best primary school into one of the worst primary schools in Manchester. So my parents were livid. But I was picturing myself upon that trellis, yeah, where the Lord was pruning and able to work upon me and saying, Lord, this is not my life, this is your life. It's a good position to be in because he knows the future, okay? And he knows what he wants to do with you. So we thought, right, okay, we'll do this leaflet drop. And we felt the Holy Spirit said, no, I don't want you to do a leaflet drop. And I was like, well, come on, you've got to give us some leeway here. There's no houses for sale. What are we going to do? He said, look, if you do a leaflet drop, you're going to have troubles in the future. The minute you do a leaflet drop in your own strength, you will think you've got that house by yourself and you will move and leave immediately. I want you to know that I got you this house so that you will stay. Wow, what a deal. So we sensed the Holy Spirit with us. And we were doing our best to be obedient with what we'd heard. We attempted to remain in the vine. We weren't perfect, but we were doing our best in those days, okay? Now, there's an amazing lady in our church in Gorton who one day she said, listen, you know, I know you're waiting for this house. I believe God has spoken to me about moving and living with my mum for a period of time, and you can have my house. Now, her house was in Bramall. If you know where Bramall is, it's lovely. She lived right by Bramall Hall. It was a major promotion for us. And so we lived there. Now, we were in that house for 6 months. And we felt really bad for this lady. Yet, I mean, oddly enough, her mum became ill and she was able to care for her mum incredibly. But we felt really bad for living in this lady's house and saying, Lord, did we hear right from you? People were saying, God has asked you to move and there's no house for sale and you've sold your house. You're lunatics. And we felt a bit like lunatics. But one day, and this is the beauty of being patient with God, because he knows the timings. Vic was at a conference and she bumped into some Christian guy. Now, this is mad, okay? She bumped into a Christian guy and thought, I believe God wants me to talk to him. Now, that sounds very super spiritual, doesn't it? So she goes over to him. Could have looked so wrong, couldn't it? Okay, and says, I believe that myself and my husband should come to your house for tea. And they started to talk a bit more. And he said, yeah, no, that's a great idea. We live in Manchester too. Come over to our house for tea. We went over there and told him what God was up to, wanted us to move to Gorton on this particular road. He said, oh, well, I know a vicar in Gorton who knows loads of people in that area. I'll see if he knows anywhere. So he goes and knocks on this vicar's door, okay? The vicar opens the door and says, oh, Chris, I've not seen you for ages. We're moving house. And Chris goes, really? Well, that's why I'm here to see you. He says, well, yeah, we're moving house. Yeah, this house is owned by the church. And so we're moving. And Chris says, well, this couple want to buy a house. Do you think the church will sell it to them? And he said, well, I haven't got a clue. You need to get in touch with the church. So we got in touch with the church, asked where the house was. Where was it? Right where that view was, okay? The church said, we love the sound of the mission that you're doing. So, yes, you can have the house for a very, very good price. And we bless you in that. So it was absolutely incredible, an absolute miracle. And then the last little thing at all about it were, we wanted our children, who had quite posh accents, to be in on that primary school on the first day so they didn't stand out like a sore thumb. Now, the problem was the legals were taking ages on the house and they were meant to be in school on the 3rd of September. The 3rd went past. We got up to the 8th of September and suddenly our legals were through. So we went to take our children to school and it was the first day. Why? Because the school had had a leak in the roof and had delayed opening the school until we were ready. I tell you, there's something wonderful about listening to his voice, being obedient, staying on the vine and remaining where you've been placed. Really, really good. Now, I'm not saying to you that it's been easy because God had told us living in Gorton is going to be tough, but I want you to know that I've planted you there. Now, this is great for you guys here. God wants you to know that he has planted you here in Withenshaw, that he wants to do some things. There's people in these shops here and people who live around these houses here who he wants to touch, you know. Who's he going to use? He doesn't necessarily do things on his own and drop blessings into people's homes. He uses people like you to do it, doesn't he? Yeah? Are you available? I'm not saying me and Victoria were perfect, far from it, but we were available and said, Lord, we want to go your way. Holy Spirit, use us. And since then, we've seen a whole lot of trouble from our neighbours. And on the street, we've seen, I've had to plug someone's knife wound as he was outside our house. I've seen a guy on my roof of my house, 80 feet up, with a knife. Imagine that one. And I've seen guys being attacked by dogs. I mean, terrible, terrible things which affect you as you see them and really affect you. But you know, you're there for a reason and you're there as a blessing to counteract the evil that is around. But it's only as we remain and stay that God is able to use us. Now, in this bag here, I've brought some props with me today, okay? So in Gorton, we do things different, all right? You don't get this in Fallowfield. I've got you a vine, and I've got you a tiny branch. No, I just need a volunteer. Ah, yeah, I heard that deep sigh. All you need to do is, we're going to be talking a little bit about grafting, okay, and the beauty of grafting. Now, Andy, it's great that you're here, because your dad, I bet, knows how to graft. I'm not talking about work. I'm talking about he grafts. I bet he grafts apple trees, doesn't he? Yeah, so the way you graft, this is very interesting. Wiki this later, okay? You take a branch from a tree. And if you want that to merge with a vine or another tree, you place this life into this life, and then you bind the two together. Is anyone willing to bind these two together? You don't have to if you don't want to. I don't blame you. Yeah, you want to do that? Great stuff. I did have the... It's just somewhere there. So if you just wrap that up. See, the life of this branch goes into the life of the vine. This is what Jesus was talking to us about. Now, proper grafters don't use sellotape, yeah? All right? Just to make sure you understand that. Yeah, just one more will do it. Yeah. If you can break that, there's special prizes. Can you break that sellotape with your fingers? Oof, beautiful. So the two, well done, yeah. The two become one. This is what Jesus is talking about, okay? Jesus is the vine. That doesn't look very alive, but in real life, the vine is alive and strong. He takes our life and he cuts there and places our life into him, that then his life can flow through us. Tell me, what is the job of the branch? Stay where it's been placed, yeah? Remain is what Jesus says. Remain in the vine. How do we do anything different? By going our own way. It's hard to believe that you could actually pull that off and there would be any life, but Jesus is saying, really, there is no life unless you're joined with me. It's a great picture that Jesus used. So we need to remain, don't we? All of us, in whatever calling we've got in this room, we need to remain. Colossians 3, verse 3 says, for our life is hid in Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Our life is hid in Christ. This is what God does to us when we give our lives to him. And yet we can forget so easily, can't we? Because we think we are in control. But Jesus is the true vine, and when we give our lives to him, he grafts us into his own life by his Holy Spirit. So when we're in Christ with incredible blessings, we have incredible inheritance, we can be filled with his very person. Do you know that? His very person, by his Holy Spirit, can fill us. And in many ways, it's up to us how much of the Holy Spirit we have. Okay? Because we are able to say, Lord, have all of me. Or have just this area here. The minute I got saved, I said, Lord, please have my business. I've fiddled my tax for many, many years. And when I became a Christian, one of the things, I went to an elder in my church and said, is this true that I have to pay all my taxes? And He said, yeah, that's true. You do need to pay all your taxes. And from that moment, I didn't mess around. I made sure I was VAT registered and paid all my taxes. It sounds like an obvious thing to do, but it was a big thing for me. No more money under the bed. If the Inland Revenue's listened to this, this is a long time ago. Okay. But there are things, isn't there, that we will hold on to and say, not that, Lord, please, not that, Lord. But if we've got open hands, then the Holy Spirit will flow through us like sap through a vine. And what does that do? It brings new life through the branch, brings fruit, and pushes the old leaves off. Do you want God to use you?
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. God wants to use us in wherever we are. Do you know that? He wants to use you. I wonder if, have you written yourself off in any way? Please don't do that. God is able to use you. Why? Because you are attached. If you belong to Christ today, you're attached to the vine. Does Jesus bear fruit? He does. Because he's a fruit-bearing vine. And he uses any branch that is attached to him, he will use to bear fruit. I find that very, very exciting. I was once walking through the centre of Manchester with Victoria, my wife, and we were shopping, which is a highlight of my life. And as we were walking through St. Anne's Parade, I was tagging behind, carrying some bags, and we thought, let's go for a coffee, that'd be great. So we went to this coffee shop, and we sat down, there was this girl behind the counter who was probably about 25. I could see she had some eczema on her face, and I thought, God wants to touch you today. I was thinking, oh no, this is terrible in the coffee shop. What am I going to do? And so I sat down with Vic and I said, oh, Vic, I think God wants to talk to that girl there. And I think he wants to heal her of her eczema. And she was like, really? Oh, gosh. And she only said that because, obviously, the poor girl, I've got to say, look, I see your eczema and God wants to heal you. I didn't want her to feel self-conscious. But I thought, I'm on the trellis. Yeah, I'm on the trellis. I want God to use me. I want to keep going with God and be bear fruit. So I'm going to go for it. Now, it's hard, isn't it? Because it's challenging. So I went up, got in the queue, and as I'm getting closer and closer, my heart's banging away. And then I got to her and I said, hi, look, my name's Andy. I'm a Christian. When I saw you, I just, my heart went out to you. That could have been wrong, because my heart went for you. my heart went out to you. And I believe he wants to speak to you. And also he wants to help you and touch you with your eczema. And she was like, really? Wow, I used to be a Christian, she said. I used to go to this particular church, and I was at a conference one time, and they were talking about people who were same-sex attracted and saying, oh, how horrible these particular people were. And I thought, that can't be God. And so I just left the Christian faith. I said, well, no, that isn't what God's like, and God wants to touch you today. And the manager is behind and sees what's going on, and she's running up and down going, Lord, like this, really, really discontent at my holding up the queue. But I thought, let's take it. Let's take full advantage. So I got hold of this girl's hand and said, in Jesus' name, pray the healing over your eczema, and Lord, that you would show yourself to this precious girl. And she was blown away, and we exited that coffee shop really quickly. But God, I don't know whether she was healed of her eczema, I believe she was, but God uses us, when we're available, to bless strangers. Do you want that? I know it's scary, but can you imagine walking around Tesco and getting a word for somebody on the freezer aisle, or the veg aisle, just about something to do with her life? And being a real blessing for that person that sets her free that day, or that person, yeah? I think that's really exciting. How does that happen? By being super spiritual? No, by being attached to the vine. Because Jesus did this very thing as he walked around Israel, didn't he? This is what he did. A woman by the well, just a woman who touched him one time, touched the hem of his robe. He stopped the whole crowd and said, who touched me? A man who was born blind. Jesus was moving because he is the vine. So I'll give you another story about just a crazy one that really took me by surprise. I'm not giving these stories to say, look, me and Victoria are special, because blooming heck, we're not, right? We make mistakes. I'm saying the beauty of being part of the vine is that we'll bear fruit, okay? And I'm sure you're bearing fruit as well, but I just want to encourage you more today, okay? So sometimes God uses me in healing and has done over a few years, sometimes not. Sometimes I pray for people and there's no difference in my eyes. And other times, bang, it's incredible. But this, we were praying in church and a guy came forward, a scientist, very intelligent guy, works at the university. And he came forward for prayer and he had muscular dystrophy. So he was about early 30s, late 20s. He walked with a stick. His eyes were black because of his pain. He was on opiates. Terrible situation, real nice guy. And he said, listen, I've seen people get healed in here. I want to be healed. I was thinking, oh dear, right, okay. Well, this is a job for the vine, okay? And I'll just be a branch. So I prayed for him right there and then in the meeting. And he said, oh, yeah. And I said, well, what? He was like, I think something happened to my stomach. Now, I don't know anything about muscular dystrophy. But he did have a big stomach. You know, I didn't say that to him. He said that to me. Okay. He said, the reason my stomach's big is because my muscles have gone weak around my stomach so that it sticks out. But my stomach now has gone in. I can feel it's gone in. So he pulls his top up and he takes a picture of his stomach and sends it to his wife in Poland and says, guess whose stomach this is? And his wife answers him back and says, well, it's not yours. And she says, well, it is. I've just been prayed for. Now, that took me aback so much that I said, let's pray again. So I went round his house on the Wednesday. We prayed again. And this time God started to strengthen all his muscles in his body. Now, afterwards, this guy used to get the bus to university 5 days a week. He now cycles to the university 5 days a week without a stick. Absolutely incredible. How is this possible? Because Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. And when we remain in him, he will bear much fruit. It's what we do in Gorton. We fill in the blanks. We go, we bear much fruit. Yeah. Okay. Isn't that exciting? I want to say, what is your gift today? We've all got gifts in this room. There's a room full of gifts right here, right now. Okay. Each one of us has a gift or maybe more than one gift. Okay. Now, we can use that for his glory. What excites you today? James, what's exciting you today? Yeah? What's exciting you today? What is it? Because God drops beautiful gifts into our hearts, not just to give us joy, but actually for us to bless others with. Okay? So what excites you today? If you read the book of Acts, which I'm sure you have, read it. If you've not read it before, read it again. You will see men and women used in that book for God's glory. Were they special people? They were not special people. What was the difference? They were attached to the vine and they were the branches and they were guaranteed to bear fruit as they remained. So how do we not remain then in the vine? We don't remain by maybe not taking risks, not believing what Jesus says about us, maybe not knowing what Jesus says about us. If we don't read the word, how do we know what God wants us to do? I find that most of the time God speaks to me, he speaks through the word. As I read the word every morning, he speaks to me. And I think, oh gosh, that's good. And then as I go to work, sometimes what I've read will speak to me again. Is that the same with you? Or can you give him more capacity to speak to you? Because he wants to speak to you. Yeah? So as we remain in him, I'm nearly done. I've got the stopwatch on. As we remain in him, his life flows through us, bringing growth, yeah? And maturity as the years go by. So how does God, I mean, I've just been knocked for six, as Richard knows, with this building that God has created out of nothing in Gorton. It's an absolute knockout. I've never seen anything quite like it. I remember the day Victoria walked out of the church we were at for 14 years and looked at an old bank, which was about 100 metres away, a disused old bank with wasteland to the side of it, and looked at it and said, I believe God wants to use that building. And I was like, yeah,
I agree, me too. And some other lady said, why are you so super spiritual? And I was like, Anyway, in the last, as you probably you know this story, time's moving on, but in the last, year or two, maybe a bit more, God has used my wife, who has a textile degree, I'll just fill you in on, she's got a textile degree, to be, the Holy Spirit has gathered around her people of many giftings, Christians who are surveyors, who are legal people, who are, I mean, the list is endless, because he's got a purpose to build a building, a £1.5 million building, to touch the entire town of Gorton and beyond. Isn't that amazing? He uses somebody with no gifting in those particular areas. All Victoria was as it were, on the trellis, saying to the Holy Spirit, Lord, I'm available, use me. Use me if you want to, Lord. And so he pruned her, more fruit has come, and at the right time he said, okay, let's do this. Yeah. Isn't that exciting? What's he going to do with you guys here in Withenshaw? What's he going to do? If we could look ahead, wouldn't it be exciting? But it's exciting right now because God is going to pick you guys up to do some amazing things. But the point is, do you recognize you're in the vine? And do you want to be used? Just put your hands up if you want to be used. I want to be used, yeah? That's great. I think that's 100%. It's great, yeah? I'm 45 seconds over time. But that's all right, isn't it, James? Yeah. Right. One more thing, okay? So just to say how God can use even me. So I was in a church in Bury. Victoria had gone to share about Oasis, and she's hilarious, my wife, as Richard knows. So I was given half the time to bring the word. Anyway, Victoria starts talking, and she is worse than me, okay? So she starts talking. She talks for 47 minutes, and we had a maximum of 50. That gives me 3 minutes to speak. So I said, well, there's no much point me talking anymore. And the pastor said, oh, it's okay, you just stand up. So I stood up and I just said, well, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to these people? I don't know. And I had a picture of a knee joint, and a knee joint which some person was in great pain with. So I just thought, oh, let's just give that. So I said, I've got a picture of a knee joint. I believe that, now this was a church of people who have moaned mainly over 60, so you know what kind of response you're going to get with knees. So I said, there's someone in here who's got a bad knee. Now, at the end of the meeting, about 8 people came forward, and I prayed for them, and I thought, but this isn't right. There's someone here that God is definitely speaking to. So at the end of the meeting, the pastor came over, and he said, oh, you're not going to believe this. He said, I've been dealing with a church of cessationalists. Can you say that? Cessationalists. Now, if you know what cessationalists are, they're people who believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit stopped with the disciples. They didn't carry on going. Okay? So, anyway, this pastor had been praying for some of these guys, and they got healed. So completely wrecked their theology that the gifts of the Spirit stopped with the disciples. And so two of them, that day I was there, came along to the meeting because they said, so God really does move nowadays in this way by his Holy Spirit. Well, we'll go to the meeting and see if he does. I give a word about a knee, and this guy has a bad knee, okay? So he sat in his chair, and suddenly the Holy Spirit grips him at the back. I didn't know any of this was going on. And his wife said, go forward and ask for prayer. He said, I don't need to. I can tell I've been healed right now. And he was shaking. And so the pastor comes and tells me he's now completely changed and he's fitted into that church. Why? Because some person like me just gave a word obediently and said, Lord, do what you want to do. Yes. You're going to have opportunities on the streets of Withenshaw to do the same thing. Are you excited by that? I've noticed people keep walking past here. I think that's excellent. Isn't that good? Who knows that one word from someone might just change someone's life? Someone might just walk in here one day, eh? And a prophetic word might be enough to change their life. This is great. But Father God, I've said enough, haven't I? I've said enough. I can't control myself. Father God, I thank you, God, for your presence with us. Lord, this is what we want to be about. We want to be a people who are all about your presence. Lord, can we just raise our hands up to him? Yes. It's kind of a picture of surrender before the Holy Spirit. And just say, Lord, I want to be yours. I want you to use me in any way you want to do. And Lord, that's not just on a Sunday. That's not just at home group. That is at work, the place where you spend most time. Lord, I want you to use me to bring positive words to people. I want you to set people free by my words over their lives. I want people to know you, Lord, because you are so good.
Yes.
Lord, I praise you as we worship now that you will just speak by your Holy Spirit. You will just click your fingers over people, Lord God, and set them free and bring confidence, Lord God. And if anyone isn't connected to the vine today, if you don't know Jesus, I would recommend, and I cannot say highly enough how glorious it is to be attached to the vine. Yes. If that's you today, I would love to speak to you or talk to James, talk to Andy. Talk about becoming connected to the vine. There is no greater thing. Father, we thank you for this time. Be with us as we worship in Jesus' name. Amen.